Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Reading from Psalm 80, the Psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by do pluck her? Why hast thou allowed the boar of the wood to waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it? Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, and look down from heaven, and behold and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will we not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We pray here again and again to the Lord of hosts. Over and over, that phrase is used by Issa. In the fourth verse, O Lord God of hosts. In the seventh verse, turn us again, O God of hosts. The 14th verse, return we beseech thee, O God of hosts. In the 19th verse, O Lord God of hosts. And then the request, repeated again, turn us again, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We need to be saved from our unbelief, from our disobedience, from our pride, from all our sinful ways. Every nation, every tongue, every tribe, we have together become disobedient. As Paul said, together become unprofitable. And as the psalmist said, even a stronger word, together become filthy. If left to ourselves, that's all we can do or have. Let's pray that God will turn the church once again, and also that he'll turn others for the first time, as he did in Thessalonica, so that the word coming in power made them turn to God from idols. Our Father, we give thanks for this word, every word, a word that can be used for thy glory, a word that can be used to bring us to faith in thee, with Asaph and with others that spoke in that way, in prayer, in request, in crying out, in supplication. We think of the time after thy ascension, Lord Jesus, when the disciples and others were gathered together, the 120, in one place, in one accord, in prayer and supplication. And then when they were continuing in that one place, in one accord, how the Spirit came down mightily and moved, both in those that were then enabled to preach and those that were made willing to hear and pricked in their hearts, and then in the end gladly received the word and were baptized. We pray for such a blessing again through Christ. We ask it in his name that thou wilt teach us to think rightly of this, to ask rightly, and in his name and because of him, that we might receive it, even not only from you, Father, the Lord of hosts, but that host might be saved and added to that number, so thou canst be the Lord even of a greater host of believers. We know that thou art Lord of hosts of all nations, all tongues, and all tribes, and that as we can think of that second psalm, that thou dost sit in the heavens and laugh at those that imagine a vain thing, that they will be overthrown, and we pray that they might rather be turned to thyself through Christ. We pray, Father, for these blessings first. We give thanks for other blessings as well. We give thanks for the blessings in nature that we have and others do not have. We pray for those that are suffering under the ravages of nature, the homeless, the hungry, and the many different calamities that have come. We pray for those, Father, in war-torn lands. We pray for those in sorrow and sickness and injury, lonesomeness. We pray for other needs that there are. We pray for the children, especially in the broken, the troubled homes, that thou wilt keep them. We ask, Father, that thou wilt guide and direct us all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks for what we do have, and whose name we ask for what we need. Amen. As we continue to think of him who both calls himself the Lord of hosts, and who is, by those who believe in him, called the Lord of hosts. We have seen that from Isaiah's pen. We have seen that where God himself speaks, I am God, beside me there is none else. Sometimes addressing himself as the Lord of hosts, that does speak. We think of him speaking to David. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 7. Now therefore thou shalt say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote and from following the sheep, that thou should be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. We read here, Thus saith the Lord of hosts. David did know him as a redeemer. David knew him, as he could say, I see the Lord always on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. He was truly the Lord of hosts, the redeemer to David. But he was the Lord of hosts who said, I took thee from the sheepcotes, even from following the sheep. God took men from many different places. And sometimes when the men weren't willing, he even used women like Deborah and others to give praise to his name. We think of Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen when Elijah came and told him to come with him. Amos said he was not a prophet's son, he was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Jeremiah and Ezra were in the line of the priest. So God calls from every sphere of life, whether it be a shepherd in the sheepcote like David or other places. But as Paul said later, how can they preach except they be sent? They need to be called and sent by God. The Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, said, Pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers and reapers to go into the fields which are white under the harvest, and the laborers are few. That is true today, sadly, in our nation. I think of a sermon that Jonathan Edwards preached and also put in print, that when God wants to leave a nation, he doesn't call preachers. I think of the time, I probably mentioned it in one of the previous sermons, our forefathers in Holland, Europe, where the church was to such an extent that there weren't preachers preaching the whole counsel of God, and the people met in their homes reading sermons of the past till God sent the revival through Mr. Haldane, and then students were converted, and again they began to have preachers, and the church that was dead began to persecute them. That was the reason they came from Holland, Europe, to Holland, Michigan, and to Iowa, and other settlements that those people went to avoid persecution and hardship that they had financially because of that persecution. God called them from the university at that time. They were there in ignorance, and the teachers were not willing to have them learn the truth. How often that has been the way. And today, sadly, in the seminaries, teaching evolution, teaching that the homosexual lifestyle is all right, teaching the way of the politicians that teach murder of the unborn and vote for them, want them in office, want murderers to be in the White House. Now they're complaining that that doesn't happen. We have voted them in the past, and many people wanted it in the present. Would you want a murderer in your house? Would you all sleep well with one that murders? I may have mentioned this before, but a woman that, for money's sake, hired somebody to kill her boyfriend. She didn't touch him. He did. But she was sent to prison. She was the murderer. And those in government today that want this and pay others and give them tax money to do it are murderers. And if our laws were right, they would be in prison. Go from the White House to prison. Go from the Senate to prison. Go from the Supreme Court to prison. And more sadly, from the seminary to prison and to hell if there's not repentance. Yes, think of that psalm again. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. When Stephen preached to the people before him, he spoke of God giving them over to the host of heaven. The Lord of hosts gave them over to another host. They didn't believe in him and they worshiped the host of heaven. There are people that are doing that today. There are people who are worshiping nature and who make a god of nature and who often, in making a god of nature, bring out a lie of what thinking what nature is doing and what nature is going to do. Far more fearful of nature than of the God who created nature and who, as Christ said, fear not them that can kill the body, but fear him who after he hath killed can cast both body and soul into hell. Listen to the words that Stephen said them. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices this 40 years in the wilderness? He took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your god Rephan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. And he did. That happened in the history that Stephen is here talking about. And worse than that, in what they worship, it said they killed those that showed the coming of the Just One. The Just One. We have been thinking about the King and His Redeemer, the Lord of Hosts, as Isaiah described Him, and stated that that is His name. It is one of His names, but He can be given that name because He is a Redeemer. He can be called the Redeemer. And He can be called the Lord of Hosts because He will redeem a host. When we think of a host, we generally think of numbers. Sometimes when we read in the Bible, we read the host of the enemy. Other times we read the host of those that want to defend us. In the time of David, we read Job, who was the captain of the host. So that word is used in many different ways. And exactly what is meant, how many are included when he is called the Lord of Hosts. But we know especially that one thing that we must know individually and pray for others to have that blessing, the Lord of Hosts, the Redeemer. In the time of Pentecost, He added to the church daily such as would be saved. There was a host saved on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 that first day. Shortly after that, we read there was 5,000 came to believe, a host of people at that time. And though there was a host, they still were persecuted. As we just read the words of Stephen, shortly after that, they gnashed on him with their teeth and they stoned him to death. How terrible, how they hated the truth. This is one thing that God must turn us toward. When He says, turn us again, O Lord of Hosts, turn toward the truth. We read of, in politics, progressives, liberals. I fear that when we think of liberal, we think of loose with the truth. Loose with the truth of the past. They don't want what our forefathers believed. And don't recognize either where our forefathers may have been truly wrong. Short of the glory of God. But they want more of times of the evil. Rather than to go back to the good. To the faith of the true believers of our forefathers. And we need to think of that. We need to think of truth. Christ said in the way of salvation, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's true in eternal things, eternal life, forgiveness, being made right with God by faith. But it's also true in other areas of life, the temporal things. Truth brings blessing. Yes, blessing in more ways than we can think of. Blessing to the mind, blessing in the heart. Takes away worry. If we but believe the truth and practice the truth, It will be because we have learned of the Lord of hosts. It will be because he has redeemed us from the lie. And sadly, part of it has to be the lie of tradition within the church. So close it comes. So close to God's word. Who was Stephen speaking to? He was speaking to the people that had the word of God. He was speaking to some of the most favored people in the world. What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? Much every way to them were given the oracles of God. They had the scriptures of Moses, the scriptures of Samuel, the scriptures of David, the scripture of Asaph, as we just read it, the scripture of many, many others of the prophets, Isaiah, as we have been studying, speaking again and again and again and again, probably 60 times mentioning the Lord of hosts. Jeremiah, also speaking, not as often probably as Isaiah, but of the Lord of hosts, over and over these prophets. And those people that Stephen was talking to knew the message from the Lord of hosts and knew the message about the Redeemer. That's why Paul could say later, I spake none other things than Moses and the prophets said should come, that Christ should suffer and die and rise again. That was the message from the Lord of hosts to all that wrote the scriptures. It's there. God promised it early to Adam and Eve in the presence of Satan. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. God said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that seed is not seeds of many, but seeds of one, which is Christ, as Paul referred to it later in Galatians chapter 3. The Lord of hosts gave the message. The Lord of hosts fulfilled the message. All that Isaiah spoke about Christ was 700 years before he was born. And the Lord of hosts performed it. And as we read many times, over and over, especially the latter part of Isaiah 53 that speaks of Christ's suffering. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied. And that word shall is given there, I believe, 8 times. It shall come to pass. The Lord of hosts will perform it. He has promised it. He has done much of it. Christ has died. Do you know he had to die for you? Your sins deserve death. You have earned the wages of sin, which is death. You in the church, you in the pulpit, you in the Christian home, everyone. No one loves God as we should. In fact, we're described as enmity against God. One catechism sums it up rightly. I'm prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. And people say, oh, I believe that catechism. Do you believe it about yourself? Do you believe every part of it? Or the worst parts just for others? Sometimes we think some of those things are for those outside of the church. We make the church a savior. We make the home a savior. We make our parents the savior. God hasn't promised that. The first two brothers born of Adam and Eve were given that wonderful promise of Christ, and we may believe they believed it. They were clothed with coats of skin. They knew that there had to be the sacrifice to show the coming, the type of Christ, and Abel did it. And his brother killed him, both in the same home. Later, Abraham's son, Abraham called the father of believers. His one son mocked the other. Ishmael mocked Isaac. Isaac had two sons. One of them wanted to kill the other. One was a deceiver, deceived his father. God saved the deceiver, and he kept him from being killed by the one that hated him. And we could go on. David, who was taken from the sheepfold, be a ruler, sinned. And God said, your sons will suffer. The sword will not depart from your house. One brother killed another. One son wanted to kill the father, David. Sin has been in the household of believers. Adam, Abraham, David, and you say it isn't in yours? How blind are you? Go to the message of John the Baptist. The Lord of hosts called him to say, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Have you ever fled? If you haven't, you'll be caught. It takes a fleeing. Lot and his wife and his children are told to flee from Sodom. Later, we read, his wife was made a pillar of salt, and Christ said, remember Lot's wife. She looked back. She didn't believe what God had said. He sent the angels to take them by the hand. It took them partway out of the city. When soon as they left, she looked back and became a pillar of salt. And a sinful thing followed in Lot's household. Lot, who vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the evil deeds of the wicked. All under the Lord of hosts. Some things he did wonderfully in grace, some things he allowed. He shows mercy to whom he will show mercy. And he has every right to leave us in the hardness of our heart. And as Stephen said, give them over to the host of heaven. Give them over to the idols round about. What are we doing today in our country? The church is loving the world instead of being a salt in the world. It wants to join with the world, sometimes even defending the wickedness of the world, joining with it, joining with the lies, as I said earlier. I want to repeat it this time, because our time is almost gone, because we need to have the Lord of hosts to turn us. We need the Lord of hosts to give us what we need by His Spirit because of Christ. I think of one song that we sometimes sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust the Lord to turn us and then begin to obey, because He turns us by His Word, a word to be believed, a word to be obeyed. In repentance, repent or perish. We must obey that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We must obey that. Paul said to the Thessalonians, he'll come back and bring judgment on those who obey not the gospel. It's described as being believed and obeyed. Believe it and obey it today.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise